I got saved when I was 10 years old. But I didn't fully surrender to be a Christian until I was 18. That's a lot of wasted years. Would to God, Brother Jesse, that I would have surrendered when I got saved. I wouldn't have had to go through my teenage life with all the hardships and all the broken hearts that I caused because I didn't give myself to be a Christian. Hey, since I've chosen to be a Christian, it's the best life that I've ever lived. Hey, I've got more joy now than I've ever had. I found out that His grace is sufficient. I found out that He's better than me than I've ever been to Him. I serve a good God, and I found out that the day that I chose to be a Christian. Unfortunately, we've got a lot of people in this church and in Christianity today that aren't choosing to be a Christian. You stopped at the altar of sacrifice. You stopped at salvation, and you never went further. Unfortunately, some of you did go further, but now you've gone back to where you used to be. It's time to be a Christian. It's time to stand. Pastor Ryman's been standing for 30 years. I wonder if we'll have some who will stand with him. I wonder if we have some who will stand like George Mitchell did. Hey, he prayed for each and every one of you every single day, and I know that to be true for a fact. Are you going to let his prayers be in vain? Are you going to step right over them? Are you going to choose to be a Christian? I wonder if we'll have some people who will choose to be a Christian this morning. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter number 35. I've been thinking a lot about Brother George and give you a little bit of my testimony. This morning, Brother Mike, I'm preaching. Is Mike Collins in here? He was just here, but I'm going to talk to him anyway. He's downstairs. All right, this is for you, Brother Mike. All right, so what we do is about once a week is we text each other and just say, man, it looks pretty cloudy outside. Maybe today is the day that Jesus Christ will come back. And if you would have asked me a couple years ago, as most young people, we're ready to go to heaven because we're excited that we're saved. We're excited we're not going to hell. But the thing is that I find with young people, myself included, that there's so much we want to do first. Amen. And it might not even be wickedness. It may not be sin. It may be just simple things of life like getting married or things like that. And when preachers preach on Jesus Christ coming back and how his return is imminent, we think about it and we go, man, we'll say amen, but in the back of our heads, we're like, just give me a couple more years. There's some things I'd like to do first.
You're right.
Yeah. And I'm sorry to say that that was me, but see, 2 years ago in November, my dad passed away, and guess what? I started thinking about heaven. I started about thinking about heaven and how wonderful it is. And then June 2nd, that's when a lot of our lives changed. See, George Mitchell passed away. And ever since then, I can stand here and boldly say, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to be with my Savior. I'm ready to see Jesus Christ face to face. I'm ready for the clouds to part, Him to step down and say, come up hither. I'm ready. There's nothing holding me back. I don't care about the things of this world. My mind is set on heavenly places. I'm ready to go.
Amen. Yeah.
But this morning, I'd like to preach. I'm ready to go. Are you? Are you? Look at Isaiah chapter number 35. I'll read, then we'll pray and get into the message. Verse number 8, it says, and highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, not any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with the songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you please help me now. I can't do this on my own. God, if my flesh gets in the way in any way, Lord, then it'll be in vain. I pray that you please fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. Move me away. God, empty me of all self and pride and arrogancy, God, and please fill my lips. God, I cannot do without you, Lord. Please use me this morning. Give me a touch. And God, I pray that you help the hearts of your people, God. I pray that you come down and meet with us. Thank you for the song service. Thank you for how good you've been. But God, I pray you please touch the hearts now. And if there's anyone in here who's not saved, Lord, please don't let them leave this place without accepting your son. And I pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. I was reading this portion of scripture a couple months ago, really, and God gave me this message, and I really liked it. I was like, man, that's good, and I want to preach this. But after George died, this message became so much more real to me. After George died, I began to really think about heaven and really think about wanting to go there and see my friends again and see the ones that have gone on before me. I'm ready to go. And what this is doctrinally is Jesus Christ's earthly reign on earth. See, one day, if you don't believe this, let me just help you with that. You're wrong. All right, so let's move on. Jesus Christ will come one day. He will physically rule and reign on this earth. And listen, it's not going to be like the politics of today where we turn on the television and wonder, hey, can I trust him? I wonder if he's telling the truth. I wonder what his stance is on abortion. I wonder what his stance is on the homosexual movement. No, we will have a God, a holy God, sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, ruling this earth with righteousness and judgment. He will be holy. We don't have to worry about that. It's going to be a perfect place. That's a place I'm ready to go to. That's a place I'm ready for. I'm ready for Jesus Christ to rule and reign. Listen, I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of the wickedness of this world. I'm tired of Satan destroying everything he touches. I'm tired of the sorrows that come with this life. I'm tired of the tears and the heartache and the heartbreak. I'm tired of losing friends and family. I'm tired of churches being destroyed and closing their doors. I'm tired of it. I'm ready to go. Are you? I'm ready. I'm ready for it. What I find in this place, this perfect kingdom, this place that reminds me a whole lot of heaven, it says, and the highway shall be there in a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. I'm ready to go to a place where there is no sin. Man, I am tired of my flesh. I'm tired of failing God each and every day. I'm tired of fighting time in and time out not to fail him because my sin, which so easily beset me, is always there every single morning when I wake up. I'm tired of my flesh. I'm tired of my sin. It was sin in Genesis chapter number 3 that brought forth death. Why? Because Adam, he loved the woman more than he loved God. And he said, listen, I know what this is going to mean. I know that I'm going to have to die, but I'd rather die with her than live for God. And so he took that forbidden fruit. He put it to his lips. He bit into it. And sin was brought into the world. I hate sin. I'm tired of the death that is caused because of sin. I find in 2 Samuel chapter number 12 that sin doesn't just affect me, but it affects my family. Why? Because David found that when he sinned with Bathsheba, his sons were going to die because of it. His family would rebel because of it. The sword would never depart from his house. You're sitting here this morning. You're saying, hey, man, my sin just affects me. I'm the only one that's dealing with it. No, your sin will affect each and every person around you, just like David found in 2 Samuel chapter 12, that his sin caused the death of his newborn child. His sin caused Absalom to rise up and rebel against him. His sin caused Adonijah to acquire the throne. His sin caused that. Your sin doesn't just affect you. Get that out of your head right now. That's a deceit of the devil saying, hey, you're fine. Don't worry about it. It's only affecting you. What's it matter when really your family is lost and dying and on their way to hell? And you won't say anything about it because you got too much sin in your life. I'm tired of this sin. I'm ready to go to a place where there is no sin. I find it doesn't just affect your family, but we find in 2 Samuel chapter number 24, again, David numbers the people, this great sin. And you know what he found out? It doesn't just affect him. 70,000 men lost their lives because of David's sin. No man liveth to himself. No man dieth to himself. What are you doing that's affecting others this morning? You got sin in your life? Hey, it was one man's sin that caused the children of Israel to lose a battle. One man, Achan's sin, caused them to lose an entire battle and men lost their lives. I wonder if it's your sin, if it's my sin that causes Faith Baptist Church not to see revival. I wonder if it's going to be my sin that causes Faith Baptist Church not to be here in 20, 30 years because we just never got right. Is it your sin? Is it my sin? I stand before here guilty too. I better get some things right in my heart. I wonder if there's anything in our hearts today that sin that's going to cause so much anguish for so many other people. I hate sin. I'm tired of sin. But the problem is so many of us love our sin. And we don't care to get right. We like what we're doing with our life. We like the life we're living. We're fine with it. Hey, we're saved, right? We're going to heaven when we die. If Jesus Christ came back today, would you be found ashamed? Would you be found ashamed for what you've done, ashamed for what you're wearing, ashamed for what you talk like, ashamed for what you're doing? How about this? Are your children watching you? Listen, I'm with the teenagers now, and I promise you there are teenagers in my classroom right now who aren't doing right, and their excuse is their parents aren't. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I wonder if your sin is affecting your children. Mm-hmm. They're looking at you. You better get some things right. They need to get right too. Hey, listen, there's no excuses for teenagers not to do right. If you're using your parents as a crutch, it's not going to work up against God. You got to get right. Listen, I hate sin. I'm ready to go to a place where there is no sin. It was my sin that we find in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18, that caused the Savior to bleed and die on a cross. It was our sin that caused the Holy One of Israel to stretch forth his arms, take the nails into his hands and his feet, get the crown of thorns dug into his skull and bleeding and marred more than any other man, and say, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." He was thinking about me that day. Yeah. Why? It was my sin that nailed him to that cross. It was our sin. I hate sin. But aren't you thankful that he didn't stay dead? Hey, we serve a God who lives today. We serve a God who 3 days after he died rose again with the nail pierces in his hands, in his feet, the spear in his side. He rose again and ascended to the Father, and he's sitting there now ready and willing to answer whoever asked for him to get saved. I'm thankful that he saved me from my sin. I'm thankful in the book of Colossians I find out that a spiritual circumcision was done and he cut away my soul from my body. And the sins that I commit no longer mark my soul. I get to go to heaven when I die. Amen. But the body has not been redeemed yet. We're still waiting for the day that the glorious body will be given to us. But until then, we're going to have to fight every day from our sin. You know what I'm thankful? I'm thankful that July 25th, 2004, 8:15 p.m. on a Sunday night, God came down to where I was. I'm reminded of Matthew chapter number 8 when Jesus Christ was on the mountain and he came down and there was the leper sitting there and his flesh was being eaten away. He was being decayed. Listen, this leper was so used to going out and crying as he walked by, "Unclean, unclean," and everyone would spread. Listen, nobody loved him. Nobody cared for him. Nobody would mess with him. But Jesus Christ came down to where he was, and he walked up to him, and the leper came and worshiped him and said, "If thou wilt make me clean," and Jesus Christ said, "Be thou clean." I'm thankful that when every other religion says we would have had to climb that mountain to get where Jesus Christ was, we serve a God who came down to where we were and said, "Be thou clean." I'm thankful Jesus Christ saved us. But until that day comes when we can go to a place where there is no sin, we better fight. We better fight because our flesh is trying to win. Yeah. It's trying to win. Look at 35, verse number 9 says, "No lion shall be there." Quickly turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 5, very familiar portion of Scripture. It says, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring," what? Lion. "Walketh about seeking whom he may devour." I find in Isaiah 35 that there's going to be no lion there. Hey, I'm looking forward to a place where there is no Satan. Hey, there's going to be no sin. There's going to be no Satan. Aren't you tired of Satan being in your ear day in and day out, trying to destroy your family, trying to destroy this church? Hey, listen, Satan doesn't care that George Mitchell died. Satan doesn't care how heartbroken you are. Satan doesn't care that you're in mourning. You know what he's doing? He's saying, "Hey, I got a good opportunity to destroy this church. I got a good opportunity to kick them while they're down." And Satan's been working every day since June 2nd, trying to make sure this church does not see revival, trying to make sure this youth group is not unified. He gets in the hearts of these young people, in the ear of them, saying, "Listen, this person did this, this person did that." They start attacking each other. They start fighting each other. This church fights each other. Why? Because Satan is trying to destroy us. Yeah. We're in a battle, but I'm thankful that one day we're going to go to a land where there is no Satan. Yeah. Hey, why? Because we find in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10, that he's going to be cast into a lake of fire and burned forever and ever and ever. Hey, listen, he knows his fate is sealed, but until that day, Satan is raging. He will fight with everything he has. I wonder, will you let him destroy you? Because you can only, the only way Satan's going to get you if you let him. You're saying, "Well, I would never let Satan destroy me." Sure you would. The second you left the back door of your house unlocked and he walked right in. Yep. Yes, sir. You weren't protecting yourselves. You weren't guarding yourself. You weren't guarding your family. You weren't doing the things you should do, and Satan walked right in. There's plenty of people who used to be in this very church who were fired up for God. Man, they loved the Lord with all their heart. They would sing for God. They would preach for God. They would soul win for God. Now they don't care about anything about God. They hate the people of God. They hate Pastor Ryman. They hate this church. Why? Because one day Satan walked in and destroyed their family. I had best friends who sat on this front row who preached far better than I could ever preach. Man, they had the power of God when they got behind this pulpit. They read their Bible every day. They prayed every day. They had a testimony like I've never seen before. But what happened? One day the devil got in their ear. Yeah. and they didn't stop it. And he kept talking to them, kept talking to them, kept talking to them. Now they're nowhere to be found. Why? Because Satan destroyed them. I'm ready to go to a place where there is no Satan. I'm tired of this devil. I'm tired of the adversary fighting us tooth and nail. I'm tired of always having to deal with Satan. I'm ready to go to a place where he's not there. I'm ready. Are you?
Amen.
Look at Isaiah 35 again. Isaiah chapter number 35, look at verse 10. It says, "And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." You know where I'm ready to go? I'm ready to go to a place where there is no sorrow. I'm tired of heartbreak. I'm tired of losing people. I'm tired of seeing young people who, very family that they trusted, very family that they put their trust in, turning their back on them and breaking their hearts. I'm tired of getting calls and texts day in and day out saying, "Michael Shane, pray for me. This is going on in my life. Listen, it breaks my heart." I'm tired of sorrow. I'm tired of hearing about people getting cancer. I'm tired of people about getting diseases that they cannot recover from, and one day we just know it's imminent that they're going to die. And I'm tired of feeling the sorrow at the funeral. I'm tired of sorrow. I'm tired of crying. I'm tired of all that. Turn to Revelation 21:4. But I'm thankful for the Word of God that tells us verses just like this, so that when we don't have any hope for tomorrow, we know that what's going to happen at the end. Revelation 21, verse number 4, it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Brother Mike, I'm ready to go to a place where there is no more sorrow.
Amen.
I'm ready about worrying about tomorrow, what's going to happen. I'm ready to go see my God. I'm ready for Jesus Christ to be face to face with me and Him personally wiping my tears away. I'm ready to see my God. I'm ready to get rid of this sorrow. But unfortunately, until that day comes, we're going to have to face a few more days of sorrow. There's going to be a couple more days in your path where you're going to get your heart broken. It may be from a very best friend. It may be from a mother or father. It may even be from one of us, the men in this church or your pastor. Something might happen that breaks your heart. But you know what I'm thankful for? The Word of God that says in Proverbs 18:24 that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm glad of the Word of God that says in Psalms 34:18 that God will draw nigh unto them of a broken heart. I'm glad for 1 Peter 5:7 where God says He careth for us. Listen, we don't serve a God that we have to do everything in our power to please Him. We serve a God who comes to where we are and says, "Hey, I care about what you're going through. I know exactly what's in your heart right now, and I care about you." Aren't you glad for a God who deals with you personally? I'm so glad that we have a God, even when sorrow comes, that He's there for us. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 35. I'm almost done. I'm ready to go to this place. I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of all the sin. I'm tired of the Satan. I'm tired of sorrow. And guess what? I get to go there one day. Why? Because I'm saved. I get to go there one day because I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And look at verse number 9. It says, "No lion shall be there, or any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there."
Amen.
Hey, you want to go to heaven? You better get saved.
Amen.
Hey, listen, I'm blood washed. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. Can you say the same? I wonder if there's someone who's sitting in here going, "Man, I'm tired of this world. I've been brokenhearted. I've been beat down, but I don't feel any comfort." Maybe because you never got the comforter. Maybe because the comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, has never come into your heart. Maybe you've never asked Jesus Christ to save you. Listen, if you're saved in here, just give me a moment and pray for anyone who's not saved as I try to deliver this part of the message. Turn to Romans. Romans chapter number 3, maybe you're sitting in here and you're saying, "Well, you know, I'm good enough to go to heaven. You know, I'm not a bad person. I've been doing all the right things. I've never killed anybody. I've never done anything real horrible. Of course, I'm not perfect, but I'm pretty good." All right, well, God says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse number 10. Verse number 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So nobody's good enough to get to heaven. But if you want to go, God made a way. Look at 5, number 8. Chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what that means? 2,000 years ago, before you ever thought of, Jesus Christ hung on a cross and died for you. Amen. He made a way for you to get to this perfect place. He made a way for you to get to a place where you don't have to feel sorrow anymore. He made a way for you to get to a place where you don't have to feel the wrath of Satan anymore. He made a way for you to get to a place where you don't have to deal with your sin anymore. But you have to get saved. You need to be saved. If you're not saved, unfortunately, heaven will not be your home. But there's a place that's called hell. And it's burning with fire and brimstone. It says where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's a real place. And you think the sorrows of this earth are bad? I promise you it's nothing to the sorrows of hell. It's nothing to burning for eternity and eternity, just fire everywhere, can never be quenched. And not only that, but you'll have the flashbacks of every single time a pastor told you how to get saved. Every single time they were street preaching in front of Irish mics and said, this is how you get saved. Every single time someone handed you a track, you'll remember and you'll say, man, I could have got saved then. Why didn't I do it? Because Satan was in your ear and he wasn't telling you not to get saved. He said, you don't have to do it right now. He said, you've got time. You've got time. Just wait. Just wait. Hey, can I tell you that June 1st, George Mitchell was up here singing. June 2nd, we had no idea he would never be here again. You may not have tomorrow. Why are you waiting on getting saved? Because I promise you, you won't go to that place where there is no sin. You're going to go to that place because of your sin. And you're going to die and burn in hell forever. But Jesus Christ made a way. Look at Romans chapter number 10. He died for you. All you need to do is accept it. All you need to do is realize that he died for your sin and that he rose again the third day. And now he's sitting there just waiting for you to call his name. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, July 25th, 2004 was the greatest day of my life because I said, Jesus Christ, I'm lost and on my way to hell. Will you please come into my heart and save me? And guess what? He did. And now I get to go to heaven when I die. I'm ready to go. I wonder, are you? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ into your heart? I'm almost done. Turn to real quickly, 1 Samuel chapter 16. I'm ready to go to a place where there is no sin. I'm ready to go to a place where there is no Satan. I'm ready to go to a place where there is no sorrow. To get there, you got to be saved. But one day, or that day is not today. It could be tonight. Hey, listen, Jesus Christ could step out right now, right in the middle of my preaching, which honestly would be awesome for me. What's a better way to go than while I'm preaching the Word of God, Jesus Christ, call me up? I'd be pretty cool with that.
Amen.
But we don't know. We don't know the day appointed. And so I'm reminded of this story when Samuel was chosen to go pick a new king for Israel. And so he went to the house of Jesse, and he saw all the sons of Jesse go before him one by one. And each time God said, nope, that's not the man. God said, nope, that's not him. Nope, that's not him. And so finally, all the children in the house were shown to Samuel. And he said to Jesse, is there any more? Is there any more that you can show me? And Jesse said, well, I got one, but he's keeping the sheep, David. He's keeping the sheep over in the field. He said, all right, well, bring them over. Verse number 11, it says, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. You know what Samuel's saying? I'm going to stand until the king comes. Hey, I'm going to stand until David walks through that door. We're not going to sit. We're not going to eat. We're not going to do anything until the king walks through that door. hey, one day we're going to go to this place, this perfect place, when we're not going to have to feel the sorrows of this world anymore. We're not going to have to fight Satan anymore. Hey, we don't have to deal with the sin of our flesh, the wickedness of this world. But until that day comes, Christian, it's time to stand. It's time to plant your feet upon a rock. Hey, listen, don't waver. Don't sit down. Don't back up. We've got to fight. Keep going for God. Stand for the Savior until he comes. Amen. Unfortunately, you know why America's in the shape that it's in? Because Christian took a back seat a long time ago. Yes, you know why this world's in the shape that it's in? Because Christianity sat down. Yep. It's not time to sit. It's time to stand. And I wonder in this room tonight or this morning, how many of you can say, man, I've kind of sat down. Man, I've backed up. I'm not doing what I used to do for God. I'm not doing nearly close to what I could be doing for God. I could be doing so much, but I took a back seat. Was it sorrow? Was it the sorrow of this world that that's what got you out? Maybe you're going through something today that no one else knows about. Maybe you're heartbroken. Maybe you're so broken you feel like God can't even use you. God draws nigh unto them of a broken heart. How about you tell them about it? How about you say, God, I feel so broken. I don't even know if I can be used by you. God will still use you. Amen. All you got to do is stand. Stand even when you're broken. Maybe it's Satan. Maybe you allowed him in your house a long time ago and he just started destroying your family. You know what you got to do? God, I let him in once, but I'm not going to let him in again. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand. Maybe you're battling your sin and you just can't get a victory over your flesh. Maybe you're in the cords of your sin. The chains of sin have you in bounds. How about you say, God, I'm sorry that I put the chains back on. Can you please break them one more time and then stand and say, I'm going to stand for you. Amen. Are you going to stand for your family or are you going to watch them die and go to hell? Are you going to stand for your friends? Are you going to stand for your youth group teenagers? I've been preaching on it time and time again. You want to see revival? You better stand. And not just one, it's going to take all of you. Yeah. It's going to take every one of you to stand. You want Faith Baptist Church to see revival? Then how about we stand? Amen. How about we stand together? Why do we have to leave everything to that man in that office? Why do we leave everything to him on his shoulders so that he gets wore down? Yeah. He gets weary in well-doing. It's time for us to stand and say, Pastor, let me help you with that. Hey, how about we be like Joshua and Hur and hold up the hands of the man of God and say, I'm standing right there with you. I'm standing with you, Esther or Jesse. I'm sorry, can you come play? Listen, it's time for us to stand. Will we please stand together? I don't know where you're at this morning, but please, everyone rise to your feet with your head bowed and your eyes closed. Maybe you're saying, I haven't stood in a while. I haven't been doing what I should do, but it's time for me to stand. Maybe you're in here. Listen, I talked about getting saved. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Can you honestly say in here this morning, if you're saved, raise your hand. If you know you're going to heaven without a shadow of a doubt, thank you. Put your hands down. If you're in here and you've never been saved, you can say, Preacher, I don't think I've ever asked Jesus Christ into my heart. I don't know if I'm going to heaven when I die, and I sure don't want to go to hell. Will you raise your hand? I'm the only one looking. If there's someone in here who's not saved, will you please raise your hand? I won't call you out. I won't embarrass you. I'll pray for you. Will you raise your hand if you're not saved? All right, I'm trusting that everyone here is saved then. All right, we got some hands in the back. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, there's two. Pray for them. If you want to get saved in here today, you two that raise your hand, would you come forward up here? No one is looking. Would you come up here and I get somebody to talk to you? Two are coming, a guy and a girl. Can I please get a guy and a girl to help them? And a girl. Two girls, I'm sorry, two girls. Can I please get two girls? Thank you, Miss Becca. Somebody else? Is there anybody else? Hey, listen, God's moving right now. Don't mess it up. Hey, if you need to pray, Christian, I'm talking to you. Maybe you sat down a while ago. Maybe you're leading your family and you took a seat. Maybe it's time for you to stand and say, I'm going to stand for God. Maybe you promised something on an altar a long time ago and you haven't held true to that promise. Will you come to this altar and say, I just need to stand? We need some Christians who are going to stand today. Listen, two are getting saved. Will you pray for them? Will you pray that they understand it? Pray that they actually accept Christ as their Savior? Time to stand. I can't wait to go. Listen, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go to that world that has no sin, no Satan, no sorrow. But until then, we better stand. Listen, the world's getting darker and darker every day. Do you choose to be a Christian? Or did you stop being a Christian?